The Volume.
Jenkins and Jones is presented by FanDuel Sportsbook. There's no better place to bet the action than on FanDuel Sportsbook during the football season. Tons of reasons why I love betting the NFL on FanDuel Sportsbook. It's America's number one sportsbook. It's easy to use, it's fast, safe, and secure, and it has fast payouts as quick as 2 hours. There's also so many bet types, including same-game parlay bets, live betting, player props, and futures. FanDuel is making it easy for everyone to bet this season with a bunch of promotions that they'll be sharing all season long on our podcast. If you've been listening along, you've heard a lot of those. There's risk-free bets and same-game parlay bets, enhanced odds markets, and more. If you're new, just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app to get started now and sign up with promo code J&J so they know we sent you. That's J&J. Disclaimer, must be 21 and over and present in Arizona, Colorado, Connecticut, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Tennessee, Virginia, or West Virginia. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. See full terms and conditions at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Welcome to Jenkins and Jones on the Volume Podcast Network. It is Wednesday, December 22nd, and it's almost fucking Christmas. It's almost the worst day of Christmas games in NBA history.
The G-League Showcase.
G-League Showcase. Big three.
It's going to be a 3-on-3 tournament by the end. Right.
We're talking about holiday hoops. We're talking about Utah Jazz cheerleader proposal. We're talking about media control. And we're going to do maybe the stupidest segment we've ever done in podcast history. Very excited for that. As always, Jenkins and Jones is hosted by my good buddies, Dragonfly Jones, a.k.a. Tyler.
Hey, everybody. How's it going?
LeJethro Jenkins, a.k.a. John.
What's up, bubbas?
I'm Guardy B, a.k.a. Mike. And, man, I want a podcast for 5.5 hours because I just want to finish and then go pick my mom up from the airport. Does that work?
Bro, like I said, hug her till you cry for me, G. Yeah. Hug her till you cry. That's that, bro. That's, they nothing feeling like the mom. There's no feeling like your mom coming to visit. You feel me?
That's beautiful. How happy are the kids to have granny in town, man?
They're literally learning to do math just to figure out how long it's going to be till they're picking her up.
That's fire.
They were sitting there. We watched The Simpsons this morning. They're sitting there after the episode's over going, 8, 9. Like, just trying to figure out how many hours it was going to be. So they're fired up for sure.
Hell yeah.
But yeah, crying, picking up, and dropping off your mom at the airport is like that's a guarantee.
That drop off, bro. I do the slow run when I see her at first, and then I'm crying, you know, when I drop her off. You feel what I'm saying? So yeah, man.
It's always slightly awkward because it's like she's going to put the luggage. She's like, you know, she's got her luggage, and I'm like, I want to help her with the luggage, but then I also just want to like tackle her. You know what I mean?
Oh,
so it's
God.
Like,
bah, oh.
All right.
We got scheduled meetings now. I'm like, every 3 months, you got to, hey, you know what I'm saying? Ain't no time to play anymore. You feel me? Grand girl ain't got no time to wait. You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
Speaking of the wrong time to play, let's talk about these Christmas games
Saturday. Let me talk about shout out my homie Adrian.
I'm sorry. Yes, up top. Go ahead.
I want to congratulate my best friend Adrian. He was listed as one of Time's best portrait photographers on the globe. You know what I'm saying? Like this year, you feel me? So I think it's crazy because just I know exactly where it came from. He grew up off Bradner on the north side, watching my cousin sell that hard on the corner, you know what I'm saying? Went to a high school, they fought.
He's selling some hard Mike's Hard Lemonade on the corner. <Mike's Hard. laughs>
That, exactly that. You know what I'm saying? You know what I mean? Like, went to a high school where they fought every damn day. You know, I remember one time getting mad because he walked home at night at like 1, called him like, nigga, why didn't you tell me? He was like, John, this is my home. You know what I'm saying? Like this is like, to see him go from there, you know what I'm saying? Like, from like being respected by niggas like the North Side legend, Yo Banger, you know what I mean? To being in front of, you know, Amy Sherrill and fucking Spielberg at the motherfucking, you know what I'm saying? Like, showing his work, You know what I mean? It's just so crazy to see that. They're going to make a movie about that nigga one day. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to be crying front row like a motherfucker, G. Like, I'm so proud of that motherfucking man. So congratulations to him, dog. This is God's work for real, man. It's beautiful to see.
For sure, for sure. Something else to add to the resume, the Smithsonian featured photographer.
Smithsonian, that's what...
Like, it's crazy. And the first time I met Adrian, the first time I met Adrian was when we were at South by Southwest. And this wild motherfucker put a sticker for his website on a cop's back while the cop was in the middle of making an arrest. Like, and this motherfucker is now Smithsonian featured, Time Magazine. Like, it's crazy, bro.
Shout out to May Monarchs. That motherfucker still probably got that sticker on the back of his shit. Hell yeah. That's Adrian. That's Adrian. Sure. Never changed. Never kissed a jackal in the mouth. You know what I'm saying? Always remain the same nigga.
A real one, man.
You know what I mean? Real one.
Never kissed it. Top of the resume. Never kissed a jackal. Jackal in the mouth.
Stay the same. Northside nigga. You know what I'm saying? Shout out to Patrice.
Oh, shit. All right. Let's talk about these horrible Christmas games. Adam Silver had an interview with Malika where I think he kind of laid out an NBA philosophy that is more or less what I had thought the last time we recorded we were going to get, which is, in the NBA's eyes, the Omicron variant is much more contagious but much less likely to cause serious outcomes, especially if you've been vaccinated, with which obviously the vast majority of the league has been. I think 65% of the league has had its booster shot, according to Matt Sullivan, who we've had on the pod, and is kind of the guy doing the most reporting on this stuff. So that's like three times the rate of America at large. And so Adam Silver's philosophy seems to be much closer to we're going to stop testing so much than it is to we're going to shut things down for a week or two. And I think he even said, I don't know what the logic would be in a pause. And then Matt had another piece in Rolling Stone where it said, I think the bigger issue is, if he shuts down, what's the rationale for starting back up? Which is a fair question. But we have seen the NHL is shutting down. They've also said they're not going to allow their players to go to the Olympics this year, which is a big change. This certainly hasn't been decided. And I think Matt's story also said that the NBA players are all kind of waiting until after Christmas, because they know that the NBA's number one priority is getting to Christmas.
Having that big three tournament on Christmas. Got to have the big three tournament.
Hoop it up.
Right. 3-on-3. Starring Joe Johnson. ISO so we'll, Joe.
So we'll talk about those games and where things are. But first of all, generally on the philosophy, what do you think? Tyler, I know you'd been thinking more like we might get a break. Were you surprised by what Adam Silver said? Or is this just kind of the direction that the people who are counting money are going to be going?
No, I'm still not ruling out a shutdown for a few weeks, because I think that, you know, if you look at the quote Adam Silver said, I don't see a reason why we should shut down right now, right? Like, I feel like that right now is doing a little bit of lifting there. And, you know, I feel like this is, you know, like we discussed, when you are going to, you know, these meetings for your TV deals, you're selling the playoffs first and foremost, the Christmas slate secondary, right? Like, that's the second biggest bargaining chip you got. And I feel like this is all kind of, it feels kind of contrived. It feels like it's, you know, I'm going to put out this statement, you know, via Malika Andrews, right around, you know, revolving around how we are going to get to these Christmas games. So I can assure our you know, sponsors when we go into these TV deals that you're going to get these Christmas games regardless, no matter what we have to do. You know what I mean? That's kind of what it feels like to me. It feels like a fucking PR push to let these motherfuckers know that you're going to get your Christmas games regardless. You know what I'm saying? So like I said, I'm not ruling out a shutdown for a few weeks or so after the Christmas games.
Tyler's basically saying, that's a devil.
That's a devil.
that's a devil. Bro, like, I feel like, I tweeted this other day, G. I feel like everybody's wondering what the new normal is. This is the new normal, nigga. So I get his logic on, like, bro, what is a shutdown going to do? You know what I mean? At this point, them niggas ain't staying at the crib. You know what I'm saying? They're going to be with Lou Will buying chicken wings if they shut down, nigga, catching the Omicron. You know what I mean? By the end of next year, there'll be a motherfucking strain with enough letters to start a fucking fraternity, motherfucker. You know what I'm saying? You know what I mean? Like, dog, this shit ain't going nowhere. this shit ain't going nowhere. So I get the logic at this point, Joe. Just get the vacky or don't. You know what I'm saying? And try to, you know, do whatever you can. But like, yeah, I get it, bro. Like, shut down for what? It ain't going nowhere.
Did I know one of you retweeted it. Did you guys read Matt's latest story for Rolling Stone on this? I think Matt's reporting on this stuff is the perfect blend of like hard journalism, interviewing people, getting sources, etc., but then also more opinion based, just kind of calling it straight. Right. And he said they're talking privately about the bubble, about doing another bubble, but that's never gonna happen.
Oh no. All that money they put in that, did they lose money doing the bubble?
No, I don't think so, because they fulfilled the TV contract.
Okay.
Right. You know, I mean, and it was exactly what Tyler said. The bubble was to get the playoffs on the TV contract, right? And so they said it was costing however many million dollars a day. But as we discussed, their TV contracts are worth $70 billion. So,
Jesus Christ.
You know, and they're trying to get $240 billion or whatever it is on the next one. So
they just didn't make as much money as they could have. But ain't no way they losing money with them big, big beefy-ass contracts, even in a bubble.
Well, it's the whole thing whenever, like, the, you know, when the players were kneeling and you know, the social justice and protests were more at the forefront, there's all the corn-fed jackals out there talking about, oh well, you know, I'm not gonna watch, or oh, I canceled my season tickets today or whatever. Like, the financial structure of major sports leagues, they don't care whether you are buying a ticket or not. The whole thing is a TV contract. If they don't have to pay back that $8 billion or whatever that year's contract was worth, then whatever, right? You do it right in the bubble, spend $1 million a day on the bubble, 100 million, whatever. As long as you're keeping that dollar amount that starts with a B, you don't really give that much of a fuck about the rest of it. Because the season tickets might feel expensive to me, a father of two, but they're not expensive in the grand scheme of things to a $70 billion TV contract.
How much are season tickets like? You know what I'm saying? Like,
I honestly,
for those Utah
tell
motherfuckers
you
that said they weren't going to go to the games anymore. Like, I don't know either. I don't even know. That's how expensive they are. We're like, right. I don't even have the...
And they don't even care.
And they
the
don't
league
care.
It doesn't even care.
But I mean, right, when you're talking about, what did you talk about, $75 billion last year?
Yeah.
Like, Jesus.
And again, They're sitting down trying to get $200-plus billion on the upcoming TV contracts that they're already starting to negotiate for. You know what I mean? So to Tyler's point, I think that's exactly right. That's Adam Silver, as these negotiations are ongoing, saying, you are our number one priority.
Yep.
America's entire sports traditions are built around people not wanting to talk to their families around the holidays. And so, like, we will have NBA games on the American Broadcasting Corporation at noon, 2:30, and 5 p.m. Eastern on Christmas Day, no matter fucking what.
Being a commissioner is a hard job. You know what I mean? You got to be a politician, a businessman, but that decision isn't hard. You know what I mean? That's the easiest decision he made. You know what I'm saying? It's about not canceling them Christmas games. It's just way, way, way too much money.
So let's talk about the Holiday Big Three Invitational, as you guys are calling it.
AAU tournament. Shit.
The league announced today, shortly before we started recording, that the Nets are now shut down till Christmas. They postponed another game. The Raptors are postponed until after Christmas. That's going to put the Blazers also are not going to play now until after Christmas. And to be clear, the way that those teams are getting shut down is that they do not have 8 players available to play.
The Nets had 4, didn't they? I think the Bulls had 4, something like that.
I mean, it's crazy. So, you know, we're also starting to see what I thought we'd see more of earlier, but I think people just aren't sure how long people are going to be out in these protocols, because as we've seen, it really varies in time. We've started to see guys going deep into the memory hole. The Celtics have signed Joe Johnson, who has not played in the NBA in 3 years.
God damn it. No, he was seriously winning big three championships. I was seeing him in like regular nigga championships, like the, I don't know if you know that LA tournament where like niggas meet up, mm-hmm. and you know what I'm saying? Where like, well, Pooh Jeter jumps in that shit, who got a chopper on him and shit, you know what I'm saying? And like playing for $1 million, you know, Bobby Brown's on that motherfucker, like, you know, like the LA local gods and shit.
Yes.
He was playing with them niggas. He back in the league. You know, Isaiah Thomas, he just led the Lakers
Celtics.
In the game.
With the Celtics. With the Celtics.
With the Celtics. With the Celtics.
He's not playing for, you know what I mean? Like,
right,
he's
right,
playing
right,
for
right.
the Celtics.
This isn't the Thunder. We probably going to see that man on Christmas, you know what I mean? Like
against the Bucks.
Right.
On ABC.
Pray for that man. Was he 40?
He's 40. He is 40 years old. He has not played in the league in 3 years. But that's the state of these Christmas games. And the NBA also put a statement out that said, we'll move him around if we have to. But these, and they said, especially the ABC games, which at the moment are Nets, Lakers, Celtics, Bucks, and Warriors, Suns. Okay.
Anything involving the Lakers right now. like you were saying, bro. Shit, that ain't sweet.
That game last night was brutal.
But the thing is, like, you were so excited, like, Bron's going off. And I'm like,
Bron's we'll still Bron. It's that motherfucking roster, bro. I mean,
yeah.
Who knows?
I mean, yeah, the roster. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Bron, the player, I'm appreciating while we have him. Bron, the GM.
I will say this.
Past his prime this year. making the Russell Westbrook over DeMar DeRozan decision.
I won't say Bron's still Bron because Bron could lift up any roster back in the day. That Bron ain't here no more. You know, Bron could have lifted up that roster in, what, 2018? You know what I'm saying? Motherfucking 2012. Bron just getting... Go ahead. You said what?
He was still having suffered through a good portion of that game. He was still pretty special last night, bro.
I mean, but that would that not have been a win? Because remember the Bron that would like not play for the first like quarter and a half? Because he's like, I'm gonna get 30 in the next 2.5 quarters. I'm gonna let all y'all do the little shit and get confident. Y'all little weak ass motherfuckers, build up your confidence.
We just don't.
So if I need you,
we don't have any of those other motherfuckers right now, bro. We have Tony Davis.
Do you remember who Bron took to the finals though? Sweeping niggas. Come on, G. You know what I mean? Like, but yeah, Bron's still a god, obviously. But yeah, shit ain't sweet, baby.
Someone tweeted the Jenkins and Jones account a while ago and said they need Tyler and I to apologize to the spacing nerds for dismissing their concerns before the season. And I would just like to state that we will never apologize.
Because fuck them. But at the same time, I was leaning into that spacing shit.
No, and for one, the spacing is still there. These motherfuckers just ain't hitting shit. Like bro, THT was what, 1-for-13 or some shit last night? Like...
Yeah, I'm saying we expected THT to be the one to stretch out the defense.
We expected him to hit some open looks, one better than 1-for-13, bro.
I expected him to not airball a wide open corner three, which he did last night, and he airballed it not short or long, but to the right.
I think that he was hella. I think the thing is, if you have a team where you have any expectations of THT, it's not, you know what I mean. THT is a guy that should surprise you because there's zero expectations of a THT. You know what I mean? When you have expectations of a THT, that ain't a team you want to, you know, take to the chip. You feel me? So, yeah. I mean,
shut
talking
the
about
fuck
that,
up.
AD Westbrook. That AD Westbrook, you know what I'm saying? Pick and roll. Who's going to stop that? Everybody. 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 Nigga, you, me, Tyler, nigga. You know what I'm saying? Tyler, I am, Merrill, everybody, nigga. Fuck you, me.
AD, bro, those 15 pounds or so AD put on, that's no. He might have to drop that shit. I mean, because it's not making him a sturdier, more durable player. He's still injured. You know, he's still out. And it took away his fluidity. He's not moving the same, bro. I think you got to get back on that treadmill. Fuck them damn protein shakes, bro.
The
emergence of Tony Davis this year has been the biggest.
Tony Davis and Jim Harden, the stories of the season.
that's been the real disappointment to me, bro. I mean, it's just like, I love watching that dude 2 years ago, and it's hard this year, bro.
They had AD gain weight to do the same shit. Like, they talking about he gonna be at the five. That's what he gained weight for, and he's not at the fucking five. You know what I'm saying? They had him gain weight, so you're just worse at what you used to do because you gained weight for a position you're not fucking playing right now. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, dog, that he refused to play. You know what I mean? So,
Let's make fun of Utah. Let's make fun of Utah. Let's talk about the...
You're tired. I'm sorry, man. Mike, triggered like a motherfucker.
I don't know the last time I intentionally did not watch a Lakers game on Christmas, but I don't know. Even with the Nets rolling in with seven dudes.
without KD, or would KD be back? KD will probably be back by then.
I hope so.
And that's another reason why I think that the shutdown is coming. You think Adam Silver likes seeing fucking Kevin Durant playing 44 minutes a night because there's 8 men on that roster? Nah, that's not going to fly either, bro.
You can't push, you know, the fact that he's doing what he's doing after that injury is insane, right? Mm-hmm. You don't want to test that.
Right.
You know what I mean? Let's not test that too much, G.
For sure.
The last thing I would say is I think that the league has really bright scientists that are well compensated and know every angle of this from a medical and statistical perspective working on this shit. But I still think this is going to come down to the Rudy Gobert thing. They had smart people working 2 years ago too, right? But it was Rudy Gobert tested, and everyone went, oh, shit, when that positive came back. And I think similarly with this, if they continue to have superstars sitting out with no symptoms, the feeling will build in the union, because Matt Story said that too. In the union, they want to play. They're like, no one's trying to lose any money over this shit this year. So if they continue to sit out asymptomatically, that's going to happen. If it turns into something more serious for an NBA player, and they're talking about, I'm having trouble breathing, or they have to go into the hospital for a brief period of time, they'll shut that shit down in 10 fucking seconds off one tweet from Adam Silver. Damn, you know? Yeah. So we could talk about all the science and the analytics, but it will come down to anecdotally with this specific group of people. Does this seem like something they're worried about or not? That's my feeling about it.
How wild is it that Rudy Gobert, the most annoying player, maybe top three in NBA history, was the first one. Like the universe really be playing jokes.
You know what I'm saying? You think you hate Rudy now? I got something for that.
Yeah. I mean, like, even beyond the NBA, I feel like Rudy Gobert kind of made this country take, you know, fucking COVID up seriously. I feel like he expanded beyond the NBA. Like, once the NBA took it serious, it feels like a whole lot of other motherfuckers there. Like, a whole lot of companies and entities there.
The NBA made it real. But Rudy Gobert, being as annoying as he is, and also joking about it, and then catching the shit, like, and then spreading the shit, you know what I'm saying?
And then licking the microphones of all of the media. You feel me?
That whole situation was so Rudy Gobert-ish. Like, it was designed for that moment. Like, you know what I mean?
I'm curious.
It's two on the button. It's two on the button to be real life. You know what I'm saying?
Yes. I'm curious. I want to set a calendar alert for 2042 to show grown-up Vincent and Maya the video of Rudy Gobert licking his hands and touching all the microphones. Because I think, like, you want to talk about a clip that at the time, I think a lot of people had annoying friends, or even were the annoying friend, who were making jokes about COVID. We just didn't know, obviously, what we were staring down the barrel of at the moment.
I think nobody really took it serious, like Tyler said, until 100%. NBA. So we all were the annoying friend.
In retrospect, that video clip is fucking brutal.
We're not on camera. That's the difference. That's right. We're not on camera. He's on camera. That's what's wild. That's what's wild.
Okay, let's talk about the Utah Jazz cheerleader proposal. The way that this woman's fiance proposed to her was to secretly have the rest of the cheerleaders do a different routine. So she was dancing by herself, looking around panicked as fuck, like, wait, what is happening? Why am I off beat? Why is no one doing these moves? And then all the other cheerleaders moved off to the side, and he came down and proposed to her. What did you guys think? Would you ever want to be involved in a public workplace proposal?
What was your reaction? That motherfucker parted the sea of cheerleaders and came through in that that leather jacket and those blue jeans, looking like Uncle Jesse on Full House. I was like, get a load of this fucking guy.
He was a Fonz, nigga, right? The Utah version. Fuck you, me.
But
dry ass nigga.
But yeah, anyway. I mean, it doesn't look like she was really stressing. It looks like she was kind of just like, what the fuck is going on? And it looks like they had a good moment. You know what I mean? So, you know, happy for them, man. Wishing them the best. A Utah love story.
Utah.
It's too Utah for me. It's too Utah for me to talk about it. Y'all know why I can't talk about that shit. Niggas know she grew up in Utah. You feel me? I'm going to leave it at that.
Let's talk about Jay-Z hopped into Spaces last night. Tyler, I know you were tuned in. I didn't catch it. All I've seen is you know, Twitter will take everything out of context that they can. Did he really go on there and say Beyonce is better than Michael Jackson, or what was he on there talking about?
Of course not. But of course, that's what Twitter ran with. He was talking about basically, you know, how it's hard to compare artists from different eras. He was like, because, you know, Michael Jackson never had a Coachella, and he was like, Beyonce's kind of an evolution of that. You know, he was giving Michael Jackson props. He was saying, you know, Beyonce's Coachella pulled from Michael Jackson's performances. Mm-hmm. You know, it was like an evolution of the art of the music, of the performance. And of course, motherfucker saying, oh, you saying Beyonce better than Michael Jackson? You saying Michael Jackson could never? No, motherfucker, that ain't what he said. But you should know better, Mr. Carter. If you put any type of, you know, anything that isn't fucking, you know, Michael Jackson is a god, motherfuckers are gonna rip your head off, bro.
Has he responded to any of this? Because I don't think he actually will give a fuck.
Of course,
yeah,
not.
I think
Michael,
like
Jay-Z sets the fucking social media world on fire and then doesn't tweet or hop on Instagram for another year. That's what he does.
One of his friends, though, I forget who it was, but someone who's known him for a long time said in an interview that the reason he's not on social media is that he's the most sensitive dude in the world.
I can see
that, like, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And so I'm sure he's seeing it. I'm sure he's just also smart enough to go count $1 billion up instead of tweeting back and forth all day.
Also, Jay-Z comes from a world that these internet motherfuckers do not understand. This is a Marcy Projects reformed dope dealer. And these motherfuckers on Twitter talk crazy to you. He comes from a world where if you talk crazy to a motherfucker, you know, repercussions come with that. You know what I'm saying?
Didn't he buck somebody down, stab somebody? Stabbing somebody different.
He stabbed on.
They say when you stab a nigga, you feel like the sinews breaking. Like, you feel me? Like, you can shoot somebody and it's just, you just pull the trigger, nigga. You stab somebody, that nigga different. You feel me? But, like, one thing I really trip off is, like, I will drop anything when Jay-Z speaks. Like, I don't hop in Spaces. I don't give a fuck about Spaces at all. I saw Hov's in Spaces. I jumped right in that bitch. I saw Tyler was in there. I saw Master was in there. You know what I'm saying? Like, everybody was in there. Dropped everything to hear this man speak at this point. And I think that's crazy. Like, Master, what? He's like mid-20s, late 20s. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, like, he was a kid when I was, like, playing Hov. Like, when Volume 2 came out. Literally a child, dog. You know what I mean? And he's still, I mean, he's a mature motherfucker, though. But he's still, like, it's crazy, like, the generations that'll tap in when Jay-Z, you know, hops on. You know, and he talked about how, like, he really thinks nobody can share the stage with him for verses. You know what I mean? And
What do you think? What do you guys think about that?
Bro, we talked about this. I don't think anybody can share the stage with Jay-Z. And the reason I say it is because, like, we talked about would it be Drake, Snoop, or Kanye. And I was saying, like, the thing with me
Some people were saying Wayne, which I don't see. Tyler IAM's talking about Future, which I definitely don't see.
Okay, see, he's from Atlanta.
I know. That's the same reason I say Snoop. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure. And I think Snoop could, because Snoop plays towards a demographic that listens to verses. You know what I'm saying? We talk about Drake. His numbers are the best of any rapper ever. But, like, you know, the niggas that grew up listening to Drake when I was listening to Reasonable Doubt, they aren't on verses. But Like Jay-Z could play an album cut, you know what I'm saying, on Reasonable Doubt, or even Volume 1, which people say is his worst album, and I love that fucking album, you know what I'm saying? Play a fucking album cut, you know what I mean, that I will be crying in the middle of the fucking crowd listening to, you know what I'm saying? And it will not make me feel, you know, and Drake or whoever can play the best song they've ever made, it won't make me feel half as good as that song. It's just like, you know, Jay-Z means something different. Like, he's for real the GOAT, nigga. You know what I'm saying? It's just different.
I think that, you know, like we were discussing, you need longevity and nostalgia. You know, that's what you need to play on in these versus battles. And, you know, Jay's got fucking, you know, 25 years of that, right? Came on the scene, 96 Reasonable Doubt. But, you know, it goes back to what Jay himself was saying about how, you know, of spanning across different eras, you know, shit gets kind of hard to compare. You know what I mean? And like, there's people 10 years, 15 years younger than us, and Drake is their Jay-Z. You know what I'm saying? So you know, like we said, like Dead Presidents, when we first heard that shit, it hit us hard as hell. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. it was something like, wow, you know, we were blown away by that shit. Like, there's a someone out there younger than us who was blown away the same way when they heard Houston, Atlanta, Vegas, that we were from Dead Presidents. And Dead Presidents don't hit them the same way. You know what I'm saying?
So that's
what it all comes down to. It would be hard, you know, to put someone up there, because I don't think there's anyone from Jay's era who you can really put up there with him. I mean, Snoop is the most popular rapper ever, but he didn't have the run that Jay had. You know what I mean? Like Snoop. Snoop's peak with the Chronic and Doggy Style.
Crazy.
There, right?
Crazy.
But you know, Dogfather, he fell off a bit. The Games to Be Sold fell off a bit. Then he got his second win, you know, with Last with Dre Meal and then with you know, the shit he did with the Neptunes, RNG and shit.
When he hibernated and woke up and realized that everyone liked party rap, that was a good day for Snoop.
For sure. That No Limit phase, though.
Yeah.
He had one good song. That was a song.
I think the other thing you mentioned, nostalgia and longevity. But the other thing I think is you need a little bit of a cult of personality, right? Mm-hmm. Like you need stans in a genre of music where no one wants to look like they're dick riding too hard. And I think that Drake is probably the only person on that list where it's like 30-year-old men are going to get on Twitter and threatened to fight people in Temecula over. You know what I mean?
I don't know. I think Jay-Z and
35-year-old men are absolutely Drake stans.
There's some. Oh yeah, absolutely.
Listen, bro, So Far Gone came out 13 years ago. Motherfuckers who were 22 when that
people
shit came
who
out.
Were in college when, you know, So Far Gone came out. Yeah, for sure.
35-year-olds are Drake stans, bro.
But in college, that's Wayne. That's not, you know what I'm saying? Like how I feel about Wayne. You know what I mean? Like I feel like, I don't know. I feel like the thing with Drake is Drake's main demo that really stand for him is younger than what Versus is. Because Versus, I think, like I said, I think we might be on the young side. When I be looking at the Versus comments, nigga, them shits look like, y'all holler on y'all, motherfucking 45, 40, close, you pushing 50 with the shit you saying.
There's definitely, you know, people watching Versus who are telling people that they are on, quote, the Instagram.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Know what I'm saying? And I think there's a larger swath of those people than in most fucking, you know what I'm saying, music, you know what I'm saying, like events. So like, yeah, like it's a lot of people that are too old to go to concerts that are hopping on Versus and watching that shit. And I don't know if Drake has that demo. But as far as numbers and hits, Drake might got more hits than Jay-Z. But I'm saying it's not about just hits. It's about the feeling you get when that music play. Like we said, Dead Prez, that as far as numbers, it probably ain't do shit. You know what I'm saying? Compared to nothing, it might be like 15th or 20th on numbers for Drake's catalog. You know what I'm saying? But how a nigga gonna feel from the demo when that motherfucker drop and Jay is on the motherfucking stage playing that shit? There ain't nothing Drake can do with that shit. Drake gonna be on stage rapping that motherfucker with Jay.
And you know what I mean? And
that's how I feel.
That's the thing that I see that a lot of younger people on Twitter do not understand. It's you know, they talk about Jay-Z and they say, well, he doesn't have so many number one hits, and it's like, bro, that didn't matter back then to us.
Nope.
Right? Like Jay, there were times where DMX was the hottest rapper on the planet, when fucking Eminem was hotter than Jay, when fucking Nelly was hotter than Jay, but we all knew Jay was on the fucking throne. We didn't care about hits and Billboard sales and all that shit. We knew Jay was
no
the
one was subscribed to Billboard magazine in the 1990s.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right. We knew Jay was the king from, I'd say, Volume 2 was when he really took the throne to Black Album. Right? So about 98 to 03, about a 5-year run. And we knew Jay was the guy, you know, for that run. And it's like these youngins don't seem to understand that, because I think now if you're not the number one most streamed guy, if you're not the number one hit maker, you're not the guy to them. You know what I'm saying? It's been a shift there.
Big analytics. Y'all care about math. We care about music, motherfucker. Right. You know what I'm saying? That's what we was on. Like, I told you this. I mean, I obviously like Jay-Z's music as a whole, but I didn't play his like the hits. I didn't play for real. Like when I got the album, I was playing the cuts. You know, I felt like Jay-Z didn't give us a full Jay-Z, because I think he admittedly said he would make his formula was making a couple joints for the radio. You know what I mean? And then he had the fucking heaters with just bar on bar on fucking bar in the fucking album cuts. And those are the shits that I was replaying dummy long. You know what I'm saying?
I want to say, I think that's a really underrated skill also, by the way, because a lot of people try and do that and
fail massively. You know the best version of that I've ever heard of? Mario Puzo wrote 2 or 3 novels about Italian immigrant families struggling in New York, all this other stuff. He was dead fucking broke, and he had a wife and kids. And he told his wife, all right, I'm going to go write the best-selling book of this decade. And he took 3 months off his job, and he wrote The Godfather.
On some recreational shit, like, here. Let me get this back, and then I'll get back to what I like.
People don't want to read about the dude working in the back of the fucking bakery. I will put some Italian stereotypes in a book and sell this shit for $50 million. And then he did it.
I still hate how they did Sonny, though. They massacred my... I hate how they did Sonny at the Causeway, you know what I mean? That broke my heart, you know what I mean? Slapped the shit out that nigga that put hands on his sister, and he should have. Anyway, but yeah, man, I just think Jay-Z, I don't think nobody is fucking with Hov, man, when it comes to, like, all the things that we're talking about. There's nobody that has that entire package, and that's why he's the GOAT.
I would disagree, but. But like I said, it's the generational gap, man. That's some shit that will never be overcame because, you know, Jay himself, when he asserted himself as the greatest to ever do it on Black Album, he said, it's never been a nigga this good for this long. Well, yeah. Drake's been that guy for fucking 13 years now. You know what I'm saying? You were that guy for about 5 strong years. So,
and I remember So Far Gone when that shit dropped too. I remember before that shit, like when it was a mixtape, before they like repackaged the shit and it went platinum like a year after it actually dropped. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? I remember playing that shit for 3 or 4 months. That shifted everything. And in 2009, I don't think you can play Hit List to the Radio and hear 2 songs consecutively without hearing right. Drake on a feature or some shit. You know what I mean? He had shit on lock like I had never seen before. You know what I'm saying? So I respect the numbers and all that shit. And Drake makes really good music, too. You feel what I'm saying? I'm just an old nigga, and I think my old nigga's coming out. It don't come out in my clothes, but it come out in my music taste, maybe, sometimes.
I listen to more young people's music than anyone else I know, in our generation.
But yeah. When it come to, like, nigga, like, I was out
when
there.
When it comes to your heart.
My heart. I was out there shadow boxing last night, listening, almost in tears, listening to motherfucking Reasonable Doubt, bro. And Volume 1, like I said, like, people say that's his worst album. That shit is my shit. I love Volume 1, dog. So, like, I think when it comes to, like to me, I'll say favorite rapper, like, favorite rapper is probably Currency. But, like, just like I can't even, like, Jay-Z to me, like, nobody can be compared to him.
I think the thing I would say that is a shame is I don't think we're ever going to get anything like this for actually the same reason that NBA dudes don't fight anymore, right? The money's too, these dudes are Fortune 500 companies. They're not going to risk their stock tanking over a fucking Versus just because we want it. You know
Jay-Z
what I mean?
Stock can't tank, though, G. This motherfucker, he fucking teamed up with the Devils.
Everyone's stock can tank. And that's that's a big part of why I think we talked about the Kanye Drake show, right? Once Drake knows, okay, this is what Kanye's doing, I think that's part of why he's saying, all right, cool, I'm just going to treat this like an album. He's like, I'm not going to go toe-to-toe and maybe lose.
Have you heard Kingdom Come? he made it past that phase. Only good song of that motherfucker was the fucking intro. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
There's a difference between, but this is what's cool about Versus, there's a difference between dropping a bad album. Every person that we've discussed almost has a bad album, right? Mm-hmm. But there's a difference between that and showing up to do something one-on-one and losing.
Yeah, I just
and what
I
do
just
you get, what do you stand to gain versus what do you stand to lose, bro, reputationally? You
there's
know what I mean?
Too many niggas that will ride with Hov and, like, I think they, for themselves, they can't let Hov lose in their head. So even if he get a dubbed, you know what I'm saying? Like, they're gonna be like, Hov, you don't get it. And that's a lot of the internet. You know what I'm saying? You just wasn't there. And that's how I feel about Project Pat and other country niggas and shit. Like, nigga, right. like we talked about this yesterday. We're in Players Anthem, like, you know what I'm saying? What's it, International Players Anthem? Is that what it's called? Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, like, you know what I'm saying? That joint, to me, Choose You, killing that shit. For nigga, sure. Most 98% of niggas would be like, that shit weak. But you wasn't driving in the streets of motherfucking them country roads in Athens, Alabama. You know what I'm saying? When I was going to pull up on some of the things, you know what I'm saying?
Fucking my lip when you're late on your child support. Yeah, child support. You be half of that on my car. Nope.
Hey, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. No, she. Hey, nigga, that shit. He got the best verse on that motherfucking beat ever to me. You know what I'm saying? Like, and it's both of his verses, and then it's the other. You know what I'm saying? Like, so. But that's just, it's just because I was there. And I'll be one of them niggas. But there's so many like the niggas like that for Jay-Z on the internet. So I don't see his shit tanking.
Okay, let's talk about dumb people on the internet. You know I love stupid conspiracy theories. Mm-hmm. We've discussed this. Yes. And my current favorite stupid conspiracy theory is someone noticed that if you make an anagram, if you rearrange the letters of Delta and Omicron, you can make the phrase media control.
Mind blown.
Now, we might see that and go, oh, that's interesting. A great portion of the population of the country that we live in saw that and said, that's it. I figured it out.
Got him.
Bro, he thought he had one, and he had one, nigga. I mean, not to us sane humans, but it's crazy how much love and support that type of shit gets. What's crazy, like, how he's marking it out on the top of it. Like, yes. Okay, there's one. Okay, got the next one. You know what I mean? Oh, you know what I mean? Like, come on, G.
Yeah, I mean, all it would take is an understanding of how these strains are named, and they're named after the fucking Greek alphabet, and it's Delta then Omicron.
That's easy.
The end. Right?
So, coincidence? I think not.
The Greeks invented their alphabet 2,500 years ago for this moment. You know?
Right.
Get the fuck out of here.
I actually think, Illuminati. Though, I actually think that taking them seriously is even funnier than that, because what is his hypothesis? His hypothesis is the people who own CNN and MSNBC and the Washington Post and the New York Times and whatever got together, the people who are running these struggling organizations, and said, we're going to organize a global pandemic that's going to destroy the global economy that we're already struggling in. We're going to deploy it seamlessly without anyone finding out that we did it. And we're going to have two variants of this disease that we also create. And we're just going to throw in a little Easter egg for the lions,
for the lions,
not the sheep, that these two variants, if you rearrange them, like, I don't know if these people have seen National Treasure too much, if it's just like main character syndrome. It's like, I realize something, so it has to be big. But like, really think about what the sequence of events would have to be for this to have been an intentional thing. And that's pretty special if you can get your brain to believe some shit like that, bro.
Special
control indeed. Systems. Special indeed. Special control indeed. Systems. You know what I mean?
Can't ignore them.
The holidays are here, and FanDuel Sportsbook has a gift for all new customers. No, not a new pair of slippers. We're talking about 30-1 odds on any Christmas Day NBA or NFL game. Just sign up for Sportsbook and bet on any team to win any of the 7 marquee matchups taking place on Christmas. And if your bet wins, you'll be paid out 30 times your wager. That's right. You can turn a $5 bet into $150. I always watch all the NBA Christmas games. I always watch the Lakers game. I will be watching them play the Nets. I have no faith in the Lakers to beat any organized basketball team at this point. So I will take the Nets, and to build my same game parlay, I will take the under on the points because there are going to be not that many NBA players playing in that game due to COVID protocols. There's no better place to bet on Christmas Day than on America's number one sportsbook. It's a simple and easy-to-use app with great new offers every day. It's safe and secure with best-in-class customer service. And when you win, FanDuel will pay your winnings in as little as 2 hours. Don't miss your chance to win $150 on a $5 bet. Sign up with promo code JNJ to place your first FanDuel Sportsbook wager on any NBA or NFL Christmas Day game for exclusive 30-1 odds. our gift to all new customers. Download FanDuel Sportsbook today with the promo code JANJ. That's J&J. Disclaimer, you must be 21 and over and present in Arizona, Colorado, Connecticut, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Tennessee, Virginia, or West Virginia. New users only, $10 first deposit required. Must wager in designated offer market. Max bonus $150. Bonus for Tennessee users is fulfilled in site credit within 72 hours and expires 14 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. All right.
Jeez.
That was a good warm-up. Are we ready to do the stupidest thing we've ever done on this podcast?
Hell yeah, nigga.
I would like to state up top.
How many jackals y'all got on y'all list?
The way this came about.
It's a pretty
jackal free is the way to be.
A rap representation. I ain't gonna lie to you, but
that's a fact. That's a fact.
The way this came about was, we were talking about how being funny is a better way to end up with punching out of your weight class with the opposite sex than trying to be cool. And Tyler brought up that there's a line in Who Framed Roger Rabbit where someone asked Jessica Rabbit, what do you see in Roger Rabbit? Because he's a member of another species and small and annoying. And she said, he makes me laugh, right? Which is, in the experience of all three of us,
the only way.
Yeah.
For sure. The only way, G.
The only way. So John mentioned that Jessica Rabbit had had him in a headlock for quite some time.
Oh, bubba.
And may still have him in a headlock, as a matter of fact.
I could rest my chin on my dick right now. You're just bringing up her name.
So that led in the group chat to organically a very stupid conversation around the subject of good-looking animated people. And I just want to share that because hopefully that would help you understand how three not weirdos could end up having this conversation.
Bro,
which
weird.
Is going to sound like
we
a
talked
weirdo
about
conversation.
This. We tried to be cool when we was young. Once we leaned into being weird, that's when shit started working out for us.
There's
so
a difference between being weird and being
and
a weirdo and being a weirdo. And this is bordering on weirdo.
Hey, I'll be talking about this online, but I'll be so left field sometimes. But
yeah.
Anyway, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we are going to see who can come up with the best group. Jackson, can you help us with the draft order, please?
I can. I'm also just quickly before we move on, would just like to say that Kanye would beat Jay in a versus, but it's fine. We don't have to talk about it.
But that's the thing. Jackson should believe that. But Jackson, do you watch Versus? How many Versus have you watched?
Not many.
See?
Yeah.
That's my point too. You know what I mean? So
anyways.
Yeah, yeah.
Draft order is as follows. Tyler, then Mike, then John. I did some I did a randomizer online. Okay. Don't get all
I'm telling y'all, I'll be getting the ass in on this pod, nigga. Indeed. I'm telling y'all, nigga.
We're gonna do a snake. We're doing three rounds, and we're doing a snake draft, which means it's gonna go Tyler, me, John, me, Tyler, so that it's fair to John, and he's not picking last in every round. Does that make sense?
Makes sense.
Okay. The only other rule is that the tournament is named after Jessica Rabbit.
You can't pick
so
Jessica
she is
Rabbit.
Not.
She goaty.
Bill Russell can't win the Bill Russell Finals MVP.
You feel me?
She's off the board because that's an obvious number one pick. So, okay, Tyler, pick number one.
My first pick. I'm digging in the crates a bit. I know anyone under 30 is probably going to be like, who the fuck is that? But I watched a lot of film on this one as a youngin'. You know, the scouting report that I have on her, you know, A pluses across the board. And I am going with Chitara from the Thundercats.
Oh, wow. She was went crazy.
Yeah, she had.
She went crazy.
She had the,
look, I'm excited look. By that number one pick because that means that we're going to be really in the weeds on this shit.
Thicky, you know what I'm saying?
Know, hey, the scouting report, you know what I'm saying?
Yamaruski.
We're digging in the trenches here. You know, we going to
and
do,
she
do
And
workouts.
She was tall, too. She's probably like 6'3". Mm-hmm. That's a winner. You know what I'm saying?
I have someone that I believe should be the 1-1 pick, and this is the only cartoon character in my adulthood that has ever inspired similar feelings to Jessica Rabbit. And it's Lana Kane from Archer.
Hmm. Wow. Okay. Humans.
Yeah, going for
interesting.
The human adulty cartoon.
You might as well. Yeah, this ain't even. All right. Okay. My pick.
All right.
You gonna criticize me for not
picking it? I mean, bro, picking out
why did you pick a cat woman man
right, like,
hybrid hey, thing? A cat human species hybrid.
I'm just saying,
what is wrong?
Real,
you
got
you out here picking humans?
Weird. Let's be weird, dog. You know what I'm saying? All right, so I'm gonna go with Lola Bunny. You feel me? From Space Jam, the first one, not the second one. She could hoop. She had a little bit of yams on her. You know what I mean? Had the top bun, which went crazy. You know what I mean? So, like,
you can't believe Lola Bunny fell to you at pick number three.
Bro, what's crazy? I'm like, y'all ain't really. That's wild. You know what I'm saying? I kept calling it the Lola Bunny draft when we were talking about this because I just can't get her out of my head. I remember I tweeted about this shit like at the beginning of the pandy. Like, yo, Lola had them things, and a lot of people agreed with me, G. And she had that vibe. You know what I mean? My second pick, I don't disagree. My second pick is Roxanne from Goof Troop. You feel what I'm saying? I don't know if y'all remember Roxanne, but she was one of the ones. And we know Roxanne was black, too. Only black Roxanne on the planet, you feel me? But she was smart, she was bad, and she got that regular vibe. That's my whole shit, you know what I mean? Like, I love me a regular bad chick, you know what I'm saying? So it mimics my actual life, you know what I mean? Where cute chicks that I shouldn't be cute enough to fuck with, you know what I mean? I was definitely goofy in that shit. What a good movie, too, Goof Troop.
Yeah,
slept classic. On, not talked about enough. Goofy movie.
We love Goof Troop, and with the Goof Troop Christmas special about, you know, because it's a, you know, you got a single dad, you know what I mean,
yeah,
trying to
sure.
make shit happen for his kid. That shit, that pulls on my heartstrings every time we watch that with the kids, bro.
He loved the hell out of his son, dog. Will do anything for the man, you know what I mean?
He's and a that, fuck I mean, up, you know what I mean? He's a
me?
Fuck up, he's dumb, but he loves his son.
But he loves his son, and that's, you know, that's the one thing he needs to be good at, he is great at. You feel what I'm saying? I'm finna cry around this motherfucker. That's beautiful.
I am gonna go with Princess Jasmine as my second pick.
She was on my big board. I'll be honest with you.
She go crazy. Yeah. She go crazy.
I feel like I was target demo for Aladdin. Didn't that come out in the mid-90s? I feel like I was like 10 to 12 somewhere when that shit came out.
We sung that whole New World shit at my elementary school graduation just to show you how far back that shit goes. And I'm old as hell.
Yeah.
So
yeah. Yeah.
Man, hey, drop the tape. I know there's a VHS. Yeah. There got to be a VHS somewhere on this planet. We need to find that ASAP.
All right. So my pick.
So you get two picks now.
I get two picks now.
Yes, you get your second and your last pick right now.
Okay. All right. So with this pick, I feel like there's a lot of upside here. I feel like this is an untapped talent. I feel like this is like getting Giannis at number 15. I'm going with Dexter's mom from Dexter's Laboratory.
Okay.
Yams were stupendous on that one.
Oh, they were tenable indeed.
Those are some
very
tenable
yams. Tenable yams, my boy.
Oh, indeed.
And keeping it in the yams category for my next pick, we're structuring
Tyler,
our team
it's
on
it's holiday
here.
Season, and Tyler is a yams man.
That is our Run team's em. Philosophy. We are, you know, some teams want length. We want yams with our show. You know? So I'm going with Elastigirl, the mom from Incredibles.
Oh!
Yams too, hey.
That's a win.
Yeah. So those are my
picks. That's a win. You got a nice little roster, my boy. I ain't mad at it.
I am going to stick with my theme of picking humans and not animals.
I will
go with Princess Tiana from Princess and the Frog.
Oh, you got your boy. She had that same regular vibe, but she
from
wasn't
New Orleans
regular,
too,
you know
man.
What I mean?
That New Orleans
you feel
shit
me?
A lot.
You that accent, that's baby, like, from a New Orleans, that baby? Ooh, no, sir.
That's like
she might
a
put a gold on
Florida
too
or some shit, you know?
Right. she might have that gangster gold on too off camera, you feel me? That's big New Orleans vibe. I fuck with it. But so my last pick will be, you know, I picked four just in case, you know. You know, my man would, you know, snatch one, you know what I'm saying, which happened. Jodie Landon from Daria. Do y'all remember her?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Jodie
yep,
Landon.
Yep, yep.
Straight back braids. Can't miss with the straight back braids, baby. You know what I'm saying? Can't miss with that. You know what I mean? Honestly, you know what I'm saying? Daria was more my vibe. Jodie Landon, is it? Straight back braids. We going with it. Even if she ain't my whole energy as far as in, you know, personality. straight backs, you know, will make up for a lot. You know what I mean?
So John's got Lola Bunny, Roxanne from Goof Troop, and Jody from Daria. Tyler's got Chitauri from Thundercats, Dexter's mom, and Elastigirl. And I've got Lana Kane, Princess Jasmine, and Princess Tiana.
These are all solid rosters right here, I must admit.
I'm going to be honest with you. I feel pretty good about my squad picking from pick number two. I feel pretty good about it.
I just put Lola Bunny and Roxanne, which is a deep cut. You know what I mean? I'm happy about it. Jody's a really deep cut, which might make it, take the weight off of my shit a little bit. You know what I mean?
Jody was on my big board.
Oh, really? Okay.
For philosophical reasons, absolutely. 100%.
Jody went crazy.
I also had Storm from X-Men on my big board.
Storm would drive you crazy, bro. That's the thing with Storm.
100%. Unfortunately, I think we've named every animated black female character like practically in the history of animation. It's
all four of them, right?
It's crazy, bro.
The thing was, I couldn't list a teenage character that wasn't a teenager when I was a teenager.
Yeah, 100%. 100%.
So, like,
yes.
You know what I'm saying? Like, what's
and I had trouble thinking of naming an animal, which did not bother you guys, and I respect
not
that.
At all. Not at all. Not at all. Not at all. Lola Bunny, it was, you know, had the itty bitty up top and the yams, as my man Tyler speaks to. Very tenable yams. Hey, and that's my whole shit. You feel me? Yes, sir.
All right. Thank you for listening to that segment. That note, we hope everyone has a Merry Christmas and a Happy Holidays.
Bye.
Bye.
Quick programming note. We are not recording on the holiday weekend. We are taking... They told us, first of all, I was incensed about this. We are the only podcast at the volume that has not taken time off yet. We're the hardest working podcasters at the volume. Does that make you sick or what, bro?
I'm disgusted.
No,
I do not do this fucking employee of the month shit in any capacity of my life. What the fuck?
But if I'm a do it, I'm a do it with my niggas. We be having fun in this motherfucker.
Yeah, shit don't even feel like work. I think that's a big part of it.
Right.
No doubt. But once we found that out, we were happily especially given what it looks like these NBA Christmas games are going to be. We're taking the weekend off, so our next episode will be Wednesday or Thursday next week, but we hope you guys have. I genuinely, from the bottom of my heart, if you're listening to this, I hope you get a couple days where you are not on the internet, angry at everyone, and feeling depressed about shit. I hope you get a couple days of, if you're by yourself, going on a nice walk somewhere, if you're with your family, enjoying time with your family, but try and find some way to get 2 days where you just feel okay about the world and your place in it. And that's from Jenkins and Jones to you.
Love y'all for real, man. For real. Appreciate y'all greatly.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.